The opinions expressed on this program are not those of Greater Media or its management, staff, advertisers, or ownership.
This is my blood, this is my tears, this is my hope, this is my fears.
Welcome to Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, life coach, author, and journalist. Join us for Jennifer's conversation series discussing issues, events, and advice to help you navigate life's challenges.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome once again to Life Advice. This is your host, Jennifer Lewis Hall. Glad you're with me this morning. So nice to have you here, as always, folks. We are pretty charged and ready to go this morning because in the studio on the line with us, we have actually, I want to say a power-packed show. Because there's one word, and sometimes we are still seeking, driving, searching, thinking, climbing, achieving when we think about this word. But it can be very satisfying when we get to the end of that particular momentum that we've been seeking. And what I'm talking about is the word success. Success. And it's interesting. I think the more you grow, the more you learn about yourself. Maybe what you thought epitomized your success at one point can then look very different when perhaps something changes, or it's 4 years after a graduation, or the birth of a child, or the formation of a new relationship. It's interesting. We're going to explore that today. So I'm glad you're with me. Joining me to do that is Dr. Joyce Knudsen, who is with us. She's authored, 10 books. On her site, she talks about helping people to bring out the best, their best, in everything that they do. Now, Joyce speaks of herself and says that she knows that happiness must precede success and that inner strength that we all carry within ourselves. She also knows that success is within everyone's reach. So I've got to talk to her. Dr. Joyce, welcome to Life Advice.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. I've just got to tell everybody, I think it's just wonderful. When I was able to chat with you prior to this, you know, you told me, so I have the liberty to say it, and certainly as I'm proud to say it. And you said you're in your 70s and you're having more conversations with millennials than you've ever had.
Yes, I think they're great. I think we can learn so much from each other because they're very, very interested in life-work balance, and I have always been interested in that. I don't know, I can't speak for other older people. I can only say that I just want to be around people that are exciting and are doing exciting things and that are really acting as a team and sharing with each other.
And so what are some of the things that you're learning from millennials on one hand? Because you're actually on social media quite actively. You get a chance to interact with them, I'm sure, not only on social media, but from time to time in person, whenever your schedule allows, and you do a lot of coaching with that. What is that interesting exchange like?
I think it's so refreshing. Because when you get old, I think I remember a story.
Hey, you're never old.
No, you're not. And I remember a story of somebody that in her 90s, and she was in a home, and somebody was asking her to dance, and they said, "What does it feel like to be in your 90s?" And she said, "I feel like I'm 20. She says, I can't be responsible for what other people think they are, but I'm just so happy to be here. And she thought like a 20-year-old, and that's how I feel. Age should not be a factor in anything. And what I can learn from millennials and have learned from millennials from all walks of life is that you do need to have that work-life balance. You just can't work 24/7. And the baby boomers, I'm not even a baby boomer, I'm before them, the traditionalist, but the baby boomers are very, they do what they're told and they do it well. They work from 9 to 5. It doesn't matter what they want. Where millennials are, they really want to have a nap in the afternoon. If they want it, that's fine. They can leave and do it. If they want to leave at 3 o'clock, they can leave at 3 o'clock. If they want to go out to be with their children that day and it's a beautiful day and they want to go out to the park, that's just fine. I think that's great. I think Google has been doing it for a long time.
Well, it's interesting, though, I think how, first of all, there's just so much everyone who, you know, can share something, teach something. You can learn from each other, whatever age, whatever background. It's wonderful what we can learn and the medium that you're using to do that. So reaching them through a medium they use. I think that's phenomenal stuff. So tell us a little bit about your background as well. So you do a lot with regard to coaching, and then you have some interesting stories to tell also about kind of how you view success.
Well, I view success as keeping our mind stimulated and constantly expanding it. Because when I think that everyone should try to see the mind and the brain with wonder, awe, and inspiration. They need to just keep being excited about life. And I think what happens to people is they get unexcited about life. You know, it's not the same. You know, you may feel like a 30-year-old, but when you wake up in the morning, you know you're not. You got the arthritis. There's things that you
little
have.
Aches and pains. I think I'm feeling some of those, but
yeah.
I still try to keep positive in my mind. Dr. Joyce, tell me what it means then. You're saying too, I think we all kind of are thinking, you know, as we talk about millennials or are we baby boomers, is there something about that success that also ties into feeling young at heart?
Yes, we are, because that's what it takes to be successful. If you feel you're not able to do something or you feel that you can't do something like someone younger would do it, maybe you'll do it better. So I think the learning from each other, you know, many times I get interruptions, and that what that does is that it shows you the difference between who you're talking to. For example, you know, somebody that is a millennial would be just fine with a delay. They would be flexible and even want to help in some way. Where a baby boomer, you know, they have a certain set of rules, and they there may be a problem because they plan their time out, and darn you for taking their time away. And then that isn't the way a person that is wanting to be successful or is successful would think. You have to know there's going to be, life happens, there's going to be interruptions, and there's going to be times when it's best not to be able to continue on what you're doing. That's why it's good to keep on changing your mind, because the situations change all the time. So I just wanted to say that, because I think definitely millennials are, they've got it right.
Oh, that's such a great compliment. That's so wonderful. I really think too, as we talk about success, it's such a driver for many of us. Should it be in that way, or does it tap into what does that success mean to you and why? So kind of a two-pronged question there.
Wow, that's a really thought-out, profound type of question, because you shouldn't want success for the success itself.
Mm.
Because you could be a success at being a mom. That's okay. You could be a success at being a good mother, wife, or sister, or any of that. But it's important to have success that means something to you. There's some intrinsic value for you. For me, every time I'm able to save a life, and I have saved some lives by talking people through out of committing suicide. So it's very interesting to me. I don't even know if that's answering your question. I just know that success is the key to creating a strong self-image in your life, and that's what we've been talking about. Yeah, the brain, in your brain, you're feeding it like people eat food. You're feeding it. It's not gaining any weight, but it's involved in controlling everything you do, determining on how you think, feel, and act. And so success is so important, but it's not going to mean anything to you unless it's got some intrinsic value. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think it's arriving at the question. You're saying that success doesn't mean something that's defined, you know, I'll interject here maybe with some thoughts. You're saying that's defined by money or the way you look or something that you've achieved that's perhaps, you know, more bricks and mortar. That's great, and that's a great accomplishment, no doubt, what you're saying. But you're saying the intrinsic things, the things that I guess will be lasting perhaps and that will have value to you that perhaps cannot be measured.
Right. They cannot be measured, only by you.
You know. And it's not on a scale. It's not on a, as you said, it's not, you know, by someone having Even, yes, it's great to have, you know, a million likes or what have you, you know, if we talk about social media, but then to have that intrinsic, that inner value, you're saying now that perhaps is where the success lies.
That's real success, yes.
And I think yet, though, in society, sometimes we can get that confused. We can get, you know, we can get that confused because we also see a lot of imagery around us, too. And particularly even the kids see it. You know, well, this is what success looks like. Or if I wear this or do this, this makes me a success. And, you know, how do we kind of either then break that mold or adjust it so that what you and I just talked about, kind of that inner feeling is more preeminent?
Well, image, as you describe it, getting dressed a certain way, having your hair a certain way, looking the part, that is what image is. That's all about the appearance and how we present ourselves to others, and that's important. You have to have that, too. I don't know of any radio, television person who doesn't have somebody working on them in the back before they go onto stage. And so the lasting value to me is where we're talking about success, because success is when your brain is working at the peak performance and it's allowing you to expand your mind and to keep your brain stimulated and have fun, then it controls the rest. You can be your best. And I don't know why everybody doesn't want to be their best. I'm just glad for the people to call me who do.
So being your best, meaning your best self, your most productive self. What does that being your best
both
mean?
You want to be your best self, which is authentic, having a value in your life. Just because you have, let's say, a movie star, because so many of them end up not being remembered for good things. And let's say that there is, it's a movie star. You want to be a movie star. That's your big goal in life. And then when you get there, you find it really wasn't what you wanted. You wanted something else. Well, it's okay. Change. Think about what you want to do. Go back and learn everything you can about what you want to do. Don't quit your day job while you're doing it. And just being your best. And you can't imagine how better you'll sleep at night, how much less stress you'll be under. So being your best self, I would say, would be success.
You talk a lot, at least from what I read that you all had sent me, and it was something that sparked my interest, too, about at least a discussion about happiness and success. And again, the quote that talked about helping people to bring out the best in what they do, but that you believe that happiness precedes success, that inner strength that we all carry within ourselves. Because we all know that as particularly, you know, as you told us, you came along at a certain time, millennials, you're working with them. They have not everyone, but you said, you know, quite a few people you've worked with who are younger also have different ways of looking at things as well. But life will throw you challenges for sure.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, as my dad would say, that's part of living it too, you know, is that you have challenges before you, around you. Sometimes you feel like they're beneath you, beside you. And getting through that, so not to just overly simplify it in a sense, but happiness must precede success. Let's just back that up and talk about even happiness. Sometimes when there's not that, kind of sphere of joy or happiness, or you're going through hard times or rough situations in your life, how do you help people to get through that?
Well, I give them the assessments. I'm very big on assessments because I can actually measure their happiness levels. I think there's a difference between being happy and happiness. You could be happy about one thing in your life, sort of like self-confidence is different than self-esteem, because you could be self-confident in being a good worker at your job, but you may not be confident in other things. If you have actual happiness, you are happy all the time from within, and you need to be happy from within in order to even go outside of that to be successful. because you have to be able to be happy for other people as well. And that's one of the things I strive to do in the rest of my life, is to have women be happy for other women, not just certain people, all people. I'm always happy. I'm thrilled that you're in, that you have this job. I think it's wonderful that you can do this. But not all women feel that back towards you. Many people are showing jealousy and guilt and all types of things. And I think that when you see that, they're not happy. Because a happy person would not be guilty about what they haven't done, what they should have done, what they would have done. I just think it's very important to get rid of all that garbage that's in your life that's causing you to not be happy. You have to find happiness.
But see, that sounds a lot simpler than it may be able to be applied. You're saying it's not as tough as you think. You said to get rid of sort of all that stuff.
Yes. But it's a decision. People have to make the decision to be happy. And many people just stay where they are their whole lives and are never happy. You see them in the homes. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Why didn't you? You know, they could have. There's nobody out there could stop you unless you let them.
And you're saying it's that if you've made the conscious decision to be perhaps unhappy, you're saying? Or what if, you know, it could be job, it could be relationship, it could be a tough situation. You're saying, okay, I've got that. But you're saying you still have choices within that to claim your happiness.
Yes, you have choices. Everybody always has choices. I like that word conscious decision, because you could be at a job. Well, you can't quit your job if you need the money. So don't quit your job. But in the meantime, learn everything you can about something that would make you happy. Maybe woodworking when you were a kid made you happy. Well, then go be a woodworker, but don't quit your job until you have everything ready. You have another job and you can make that choice to move. Everybody has a choice. We all have a choice, unless we're kids and our parents make our choices.
Right.
But when you get to be an adult, you have choices. You have no idea what anyone's been through, including myself.
That's interesting that you say that.
And I will say a lot. But you know what? I got over it. It was then. This is now. I've got so many more years of what I want to do left, and I'm making a conscious decision of how I want to spend my time, who I want to spend it with.
That's so fascinating that you say that. It seems you're making it seem like, oh, okay. But you're saying that may be work too. You're saying to, as you said, make the conscious effort to change that scenario around. Negative people, negative relationships, or relationship stuff. A lot of times if it's not work, it's relationships. What do you say?
Well, it's so simple, yet people make it so complicated. I think in anything that you do, if you have decided to be happy, even during a phone call you get, and at my age you get a lot of phone calls. I've lost a lot of friends. And so it's sad, but you move up and you think to yourself, this is what I'm going to remember them for, and I'm going to think about them all the time for that. So that's a conscious decision to be positive about something negative. We're all going to go sometime, so we may as well make the best out of whatever happens in our life. I'm not sure if I'm answering your
question. Well, I think it's interesting because you're saying we threw out a couple of things. We didn't throw them out lightly. We were able to talk with with a positive tone, but we talked about, in a way, touching upon, you're saying grief and loss. We clearly know as women with experiences, and so many of our listeners too, that it can be devastating situations, but you're saying even within the life that we have, we must find a place and a way to cope with the things around us that could stay with us for some time. And you're saying if they therefore can make you very, very sad or unhappy, you're saying working to do the opposite, to bring yourself back. And I think what you're telling me and our listeners is to help you find more joy and balance. And we started with success. So we started with that word. But within that, we also talked about what does that success look like? And we weren't talking just about a way of looking, being, or showing up, but a more of an inner feeling. And so I think what you're telling us is that you're saying you've got to pull that back and say, if I feel this, I could also feel this.
Yes, you have a choice.
Maybe, right?
You could be on one end of the pendulum or you could be on the other. I think when we're talking about SMART goals, I think it's really important to know what exactly they mean. So, because these are goals. These are things that you decide sometimes on a moment's notice of what to do. I lost my brother when he was 42 and he was my best friend. I had to find something good in that. We had always talked about my business. He said, open it up. Call it the Image Maker, Inc. So
wow.
I did. And every day I think of him in a good way. Not he's gone, but that he's within my spirit. He's there. And so when I think about I always go back to the SMART goals. I don't know why, because I ask myself, who's involved? What do I want to accomplish? Where will it be? What type of time frame will there be? And what specific reason or purpose of accomplishing this is there going to be? And my reason was with my brother was that I couldn't lose him, so I found a way to keep him.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is really, really beautiful.
Thank you. Let's go
over the SMART goals for folks again. Such a great tool, not only in coaching personally, but professionally, business coaching, personal coaching, someone who wants to open up a business. Just a great, simple tool to begin to look at, I think, breaking down some of that ice, the fear, the trepidation that we feel like, okay, sometimes things are so lofty in our minds and we have to figure out how to break off a piece of that. Dr.
Right.
Joyce, can you take us through again those SMART goals for folks out there saying, listen, I've got something I need to deal with. Perhaps I need an expert or someone to talk to about it. But even bringing up those SMART goals gets the mind working.
It really does. It really does. I don't know if you've ever heard the definition of a coach. It's somebody who's out of work. There's so many people that are coaches, and it's really hard for the poor Google person who's looking through and seeing all these people, and they don't know who to pick because everybody sounds like they're the most wonderful coach in the world. Let's go back to the SMART coaches. I had to get that out.
That's a cute joke, but many certified and totally prepared to help you, find a path to finding some things that you want to do.
Right.
And maybe a way to do those.
Well, going over the S for in SMART goals, it would be specific. And that's a specific goal that has a much greater chance of becoming accomplished than a general goal. So when setting a specific goal, you must answer the 6 W questions, which are who is involved, what do I want to accomplish, where will I do it? It's sort of the W's, which would be identify requirements and constraints and why. What are your reasons of accomplishing this goal? So, for example, on that one, I don't have examples for all of them, but this one comes to mind would be somebody would say get in shape, but that's a general goal. But a specific goal would be join a health club and work out 3 days a week.
Mm.
It has to be a specific goal. I'll try to come up with one. It's just hard, and some of them are so self-explanatory. The M, it has to be measurable because you need to measure progress toward the attainment of this goal or whatever goal you set. So when you're measuring your progress, you stay on track, you reach your target dates, and experience the exhilaration, which is what I'm all about. I want everybody to be exhilarated of achievement that could spur you to a continued effort to reach your goal. And you want to determine if your goal is measurable. So you ask questions such as, how much, how many, how will I know when it's accomplished? So it has to be measurable. You can't be unrealistic about what you're doing your goals on.
Wow, that's so true.
And dreams are just goals that haven't been accomplished yet. That's all they are. So attainable would be the third one, which is the A in SMART. Tell me if I'm out of order like I was before.
No, you're doing great.
When you identify goals that are most important to you, you figure out ways you can make them happen. You want them to come true, obviously. You develop attitudes, abilities, skills, and obviously you need the finances to reach them. You begin seeing previous overlooked opportunities to bring yourself closer to the achievement of this goal. So you could attain most any goal when you set your steps wisely and establish a time frame that allows you to carry out these steps. So many people, what they do is they think about, well, I want to do this, but then no action is ever put to it.
Right.
So goals that may have seemed far away and out of reach, you will come closer and make them become attainable, not because your goals shrink, but because you grow and expand to match them.
Wow.
So that's what I would say for that one. Because when you, and also I have to put this in, when you list your goals, you build your self-image. You see yourself as worthy of these goals.
And it is certainly a good feeling.
It is, and develop the traits and personality that allow you to possess them. So I think that's so important. And the R, realistic, a goal must represent an objective toward which you're willing and able to work. You've got somebody on the phone here that works 24/7. If I get up in the night, my iPad's by my bed, and I'm working, always working, because I love it. Doing what you love is
right.
So great.
It feels good.
There's nothing like it. The self-actualization that you feel is better than any marriage, any wedding, any this.
Oh, boy, Dr. Joyce.
Yes.
I don't know. You're saying it's better than anything.
It is. There's nothing like self-actualization. You have to decide how high your goal should be, whether you even want to be self-actualized. Some people don't, because then they'll be seen, and they don't want to be seen because they hate themselves. So I like myself. I want to be seen. So you have to be sure every goal represents substantial progress. So a high goal, like, for example, is easier to reach than a low one, because a low goal, it doesn't give you much motivational force.
That's interesting.
So some of the hardest jobs you'll ever accomplish actually seem really simple because they were a labor of love.
Wow.
And the last for SMART, if I did it correctly this time, is hot timely. goal should be grounded within a time frame. With no time frame, you're wasting your time. There's no sense of urgency. If you want to lose 10 pounds, when do you want to lose it by? Someday doesn't cut it.
And we've all felt a little procrastination now and again.
That's true. I mean, things get in our way, and we can't let it. If we write it down, it becomes real. So if you write down your goals and you anchor it within a time frame, I always say, when people say to me, I'll have my homework assignment, because in my courses they have homework assignments, I always say, I'll need your homework assignment by June 12th. And
wow.
On June 12th, I have my homework assignment, because they had to set their mind to do that to please me, their mentor. And so I always say to people, by when will you have this?
And
when
that,
they say they're going
and
to
it,
do
it
something.
Is true. It makes it that timely component, which we end our SMART goals with,
that's
definitely
right.
Helps to keep us aligned with accomplishing
right.
That goal. And after you put all the other work into it, clearly you don't want to drop the ball there.
Right. Well, when you set your unconscious mind into motion to begin working on the goal is when it'll happen. And that's why the days. I just, when people say to you, I'm going to do this, people say, let's have lunch. When? When are we going to do this?
And then do you realize that like 2 years goes by?
That's right. That's right. They didn't mean it. they just like to talk. You know, there's no action put to anything.
Your goal
is probably realistic if you truly believe it's going to be accomplished. And I would never say to you, let's have lunch, if I wasn't planning on having lunch with you. I mean, to me, the goal has to be, that's a realistic goal. And you want to determine anything in the past, or ask yourself, what conditions would have to exist to accomplish your goal? And it's so easy. And the T stands for tangible. A goal that is tangible is when you experience it with one of your senses, like taste or touch, smell, you know, all those senses we have. It's very important, because you have a better chance of making a tangible goal specific and measurable and attainable, which kind of wraps up the SMART goals.
Wow. And that is a wrap as well. That was a powerhouse bit of information there. And really, I feel motivated. I hope others will as well, listening today, to something you said was very key. Sometimes that bigger goal is easier to attain and execute than a smaller one, and how we can keep ourselves motivated with that. Because, you know, you're saying don't be afraid to take on that big goal, because you can do it. How you execute it will be key. But I thought that was very interesting that you said that don't think that, oh, well, this is so big that, you know, I don't want to take that on. It certainly will be very motivating, as you said, to see that evolve with success. So we love success stories here. We talk about all the things that involve our lives right here on Life Advice. Dr. Joyce Knudsen, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for asking me to be on your show.
Absolute pleasure on my behalf as well. And thanks to all of you, our listeners, for making this week, each and every week, possible right here on Life Advice. We'll see you next week.
Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall has been a production of Greater Media Radio. Be sure to tune in next week for Life Advice with Jennifer Lewis Hall, right here on Magic 98.3.